We're recording.
Hello, I am Tom Chatfield, and I'm an author and tech philosopher.
Oh, that's a title. I don't even have to describe that. I'm Kath, and she's Betty. Hello. The Wrong Thing podcast continuing from Margate Bookie. Oh, Tom, what on earth does that mean? What did you just say?
It means I try to think hard about technology, and rather than looking at shiny gadgets, try to think about why we use it, how we use it, and what it means in our lives.
This is wonderful. It sounds really deep, and I'm as shallow as a pond. So do you want to take this one, Betty?
I do. That was the most terrifying segue ever. Thank you, Kath. So tell me what you're speaking about today, then.
So I've been talking a little bit around a book I've done for Penguin called Live This Book, and it is a book of 100 exercises. You write in it. It's not an anti-tech book, but if you like, it's an antidote to tech book. And I like the idea that today, more than ever, we need a little bit of uninterrupted time spent with our own thoughts, desires, flights of fantasy, interests, and so on. Because technology is awesome, but it is also overwhelming. It overwhelms us with information and choice. And I think more than ever, it can be very powerful to carve out a small amount of undistracted time for asking open, random, rambling questions and giving yourself permission to explore them without interruption.
So you need a brain break, essentially.
A brain break. Yeah, I'm going to steal that term. A brain break. That's right, yeah. You know, our attention, our high-quality attention, is the world's most limited resource. Information consumes the attention of its recipients. And I feel that a lot of the time, for a lot of people, their attention is being sold too cheaply. You know, you're paying with your attention when you are using YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. And they're awesome, but you're probably being sold rather too cheap. And perhaps you need a little help in pricing your time more accurately.
Hang on, you're saying too cheaply, and you really caught me now. I'm in. Aren't we just enjoying having slightly directed fun? Isn't that what it is? Or are you saying we've got to literally switch off and let our brain meander where it needs to?
So we're enjoying it a lot. We're enjoying it perhaps too much. Technology is awesome. It's also seductive. You can think of the business model of Facebook or Twitter as a casino designed to keep you clicking. They're expending a great deal of algorithmic effort to get you clicking one more time. You're doing wonderful stuff. It's awesome. It's great. It's brilliant. It's self-expressive. But it's very, very hard to stop. And I think taking a step back from the screen, the better to re-engage, is a very nice idea. And giving people permission to do that, encouraging people to take a few moments to work out what they really think, to say something that really belongs to them, rather than just going with the social media flow, is quite a valuable skill set, and one that's getting more and more important the more things there are competing for our time and attention.
So communicating with others is one thing, but communicating with ourselves, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head. What kind and quality of attention do you really deserve? When did you last let your fancy fly free without having the buzz of a message in the pocket, without having a window open on the desktop, without having the urge to get out your phone and fiddle with it? And I think these moments of kind of reverie, these moments of insight, these moments of mind wandering, I think they're part of the picture of us. We need a real variety of types and textures of time and attention if we are to be fully ourselves, if we are to thrive rather than survive. Technology is great, but there is a danger that it turns all our time into the same kind of time, because you have always got that miraculous little gadget there, always the same, always bringing you everything you care about and love and are titillated and delighted and stimulated by. And frankly, if you don't build a little bit of a break, a little bit of variety into your routines, then you are missing out.
So it's kind of like that cheesecake for that Stephen Pinker said, cheesecake for the brain. Is this a cheesecake moment?
Exactly right. Yeah, Stephen Pinker's been on this for a long time. He's also writing about peace a lot these days, which is nice and cheerful. So cheesecake is food that is engineered to a tastiness that you cannot stop cramming into your mouth, because it has a tantalising mixture of the savoury, the sweet and the umami. And similarly, you can absolutely think of a lot of social media, a lot of online enticements as cheesecake for the mind. Cheesecake that you cannot stop cramming into your mouth. We live in an age of suffusion. We live in an age of problems with junk. junk mail, junk food, junk time, spam of diseases and pathologies associated with overconsumption, where we are unable to control ourselves. And so I think learning better to control ourselves, learning better to regulate our impulses and push back against those that are seeking to exploit these, this is really quite an important contemporary survival skill.
Okay, I've got to ask you this, because we're recording on a smartphone, but other people will listen to stuff on their own smartphone. So, and you're talking about definitely the fact we should maybe unplug for a bit, but what's your favourite bit of technology? Come on, admit it, you love it still.
I mean, I'm very into video games. I have always played games, I've written a book about video games, I've worked on video games. And in a sense, this is partly where my kind of concern has come from. My concern is born out of love. Video games, games and play are absolutely astonishing at engaging us and keeping us engaged. They are engines of desire, if you like. They are a little world specifically designed to tick all our evolutionary boxes, just like cheesecake is engineered to kind of light up our palate so that we eat way beyond the point of satiety. And so if it's from designing things like games and seeing these mechanics in action that I think, yeah, this is awesome, this is amazing, this is brilliant, but we need to help people structure their time and balance their lives, or they're just going to overconsume. And I think people know this. In a way, a lot of people don't want to want the things they want quite as much as they want, in that you really want to keep on clicking on those links. You really want to go and see how many retweets you got, how many likes you got, how many thumbs up, how many plus ones you got on Google Plus, if anyone ever used Google Plus. But you don't necessarily want to want these things as much as you do. And I think looking for habits, routines, structures, ways of giving yourself more variety and more distance, This is a really big deal, and that, in a very small way, is what I'm trying to do with some of my nice, pretty little books.
Okay, so remind us how we can read more of what you're saying.
You can Google me, of course. You can buy Live This Book, or you can just watch great videos of me talking about why you shouldn't be watching great videos of me talking about this kind of thing. But I think, in practice, time spent with a book, giving undistracted attention to words that are their own self-contained, self-sustaining world, is a wonderful thing. It's life-enhancing. Just like social media is life-enhancing, there's a place for each. And I think the question is, how can you make space in your life for both, rather than just one kind of time that crowds out all the other kinds of time you might be experiencing?
We've talked a lot about serious things. We need to lighten things up. You smell really nice.
That's very kind. I'm wearing Hugo Boss for Men. I'm wearing it partly because I have two young children who vomit on me the entire time. And so I marinade myself in cologne before leaving the house in an effort not to smell like some kind of puke-encrusted dad.
You're doing well. You're doing well. Yeah, you're a hero.
And Margate, what do you reckon of Margate? Is this somewhere you come a lot?
Margate is somewhere I've never been before. A bit of shame because I live in Kent, but Kent's really long and thin, and I live in a bit that's a very long way away from here. Margate is very nice. It's got some sea. It's got some other bits. I'm looking forward to strolling around later. I don't feel I really know a place until I've wandered aimlessly in it. And actually, this is one of these things about phones and stuff. I resist looking up where to go, where to see, what to do, until I've just walked in somewhere and experienced it, because your first slightly bewildered contact with a place when you don't know where you're going, that's a precious thing. You're going to lose that the moment you are being directed by a map app towards a hot bar. And I think just to be a little lost, a little wandering, a little bewildered is a state of mind that we would do well to cultivate more often.
It's been a pleasure chatting. Thank you so much.
Great to meet you.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm off to get lost now.